Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the show. It is Thursday. I can't believe it. Where is the time gone? It's the 26th of October. And Tom, I told you, you know, the Buckmaster Bungalow is the epicenter these days for when it rains, you know, 2+ inches. And my gentleman who helps me out with the yard, it was a big job. He was there for like 6 to 8 hours yesterday just getting all the debris out of the yard and the driveway, the little bridge we have. It was a mess.
So your bungalow is like a water magnet.
The bungalow is a water magnet. And, you know, you see at the airport, okay, we're on average, right, 8.5 inches, probably up at the Buckmaster Bungalow. It qualifies for like the Hana area of Maui or something, the wettest part of the United States. Anyway, it's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, which is part of the Bustos Media growing empire of 5 radio stations under one roof here. But this radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted source for news and talk, worldwide live listening. You can listen to the show live on my website, buckmastershow.com, also the place for all of our podcasts. We usually get the podcasts available for you by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and our telephone interviews. And by the way, everyone is always welcome to join us at 790-2040. That's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We always enjoy welcoming back Tucson City Councilman Kevin Dahl, a Democrat who represents the 3rd Ward in the city of Tucson. And Kevin was born in Washington, D.C. How did that happen? By the way, good to see you.
Thank you.
How did that happen?
My father worked for the government in various...
Really?
Post. He was a law librarian for the Air Force, so I
really
have early memories of walking around the Pentagon.
Cool.
I don't think you could do that anymore.
So your dad was like an Air Force officer?
He was a civilian employee of the Air Force.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Kevin graduated from Prescott College. He has a lot of professional experience. Before he was a council person, I remember interviewing him on my TV show when he was with the Audubon Society. Did I get that right?
You got that right. And I was also on your show when I was with Native Seed Search.
That's what I was going to say. So yeah. you had
probably both.
Yeah. So you had time at Native Seed Search. Are they? They're still around.
They're
right?
doing strong. Yeah, they have a big facility on River Road.
And then I was no longer at the TV show when you. Transition to, this was a good gig for you, National Parks Conservation Association. You were the like Arizona representative.
That's right. So
I mean, you
I
got
had to
go
work at
to
the
some
Grand
of the
Canyon
most beautiful parks, you know, petrified forest. And it wasn't just a tourist trip. It was a business trip when you went to the park.
That's right. And our organization is composed of people who want to advocate for parks, to protect them, create new ones. It was a great gig, as you said.
And that organization also is still around.
That's right.
All right. Toilet to tap. Just saying.
We're
it.
Starting with that, Bill?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because that's what's in the news. That's in the news. And that's, you know, toilet to tap, it sounds awful, but there are cities, a lot of them in California, I believe, that are doing it.
Yes. This comes out of a study, One Water Tucson 2100, we're preparing for the next century, looking at all the potential sources of water we'll need for our community, especially as climate change and overallocation on the Colorado River, which is our major source of water, means that we may not be able to get the supplies that we once had and that we'll need for our growing population.
But you voted no.
I voted no for this plan because there were some areas that I thought we needed to be more robust, more rigorous, and in particular water conservation. Before we do the water to tap, let's do everything we can to make sure we're conserving water. A gallon of water we conserve is the cheapest thing we can do about our water supply. When we recycle water, and we do, we have reclaimed water that are on play fields, sports fields, golf courses. it's expensive. There's a lot of pumping and there's a lot of energy to make it go through the system to make it usable again. And there is good technology. We can do the secondary and tertiary treatments to make it potable. Everyone's suspicious, and I have a little bit of suspicion because we keep learning about contaminants like the PFAS and the TCE. We want to make sure that we're not putting forth something that's not completely healthy. But I think by the time we get around to it, we will have the technology perfected. I worry about the expense, and there is the yuck factor.
Yeah, and one of the letters to the editor today, Mr. Smith, Morton Smith up in the foothills, he echoes what you're saying about the expense. This is a very expensive proposition, right?
That's right.
It's kind of a last resort.
I would think so, yeah. And by the way, Tucson Water and the citizens of Tucson have been so very good at conserving water, making sure water is used appropriately. We do have 5 years of water supplies backed up in our aquifer storage system in Avra Valley. So there's no immediate threat, but we need to plan for the future.
And the headline today, one of the headline stories from Tony Davis, who, my goodness, this guy is the gold standard of newspaper reporters.
That's right.
on the environment of national caliber. I hope Tony never retires. And he's happy doing what he's doing. We're about the same age, Tony and I, and you know, we like what we do, and I hope he keeps at it. Anyway, the headline, Colorado River Cuts Likely Less Drastic for Arizona. Kevin Dahl, you know people will read this, and what are they going to say?
They're going to say, hey, everything's rosy again.
Yeah.
And we can't do that. If you read the entire article, Tony quotes a Utah professor who studied the Colorado River for all of his career. And he points to parts of the cycle over the years where we've had a couple of good years followed by three or four bad years. And the gains that we get in a good year are taken away pretty quickly when the drought conditions come back. So this gives us some breathing room. I hope the federal government is able to use this time to wrangle with the seven basin states. We're one of seven states that has a straw into the Colorado River. Ours is a big, expensive straw, the Central Arizona Project. And Tucson's at the tail end of that. Arizona, because of the way the Central Arizona Project was negotiated in Congress, we have the junior rights. So legally, they could cut us off. They're not going to cut off Phoenix and Tucson without going through the measures that we need to take to conserve water, use it wisely in all seven basin states.
All right, let's put in, before we take the break, let's talk about, sounds like a good event coming up, Cyclovia Tucson. You're excited about this.
I am. I've done this before. When it comes into our ward, we have a table at one of the activity hubs. This is organized by Living Streets Alliance. It's helping us understand that streets are more than just places for cars to go. There's pedestrians, there's bicycles. It's how community can interact. And the streets will be closed. They'll be very safe. It will be car-free and carefree. Great family event. It's not a race. It's not like Tour de Tucson, mm-hmm. which is a great event. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it's, and if you don't have a bike, you can walk it or use one of the free to-go bikes, the rental bikes this mm-hmm. year.
Do you do bikes?
I've walked it, and it was the impetus for me to buy a new beautiful bike. So mm-hmm. I'll bike it for the first hour, and then I'll be sitting at a table. Come see me. I have gifts for people.
How do you get involved, or how do we find out where the map is for everything, it's going to be?
It's online. If you Google Cyclovia, or if you go to livingstreetsalliance.org, they have an interactive map. So you can zoom in and out, see the food booths, see the kids' activities. If you have a broken bicycle, there's a hub where you can get it fixed for free.
Really?
There's free helmets for youth. It's just a wonderful event.
And there's no charge?
No charge. Well, there's some vendors like the food vendors. But,
sure.
But all of the activities are free.
We have a lot of activities, don't we? Especially this time of year. We had the Tucson Meet Yourself there. 50th anniversary. It seems like we've always got something going on here.
Tucson is so wonderful that way. The walk that we're going to do around the Day of the Dead is coming up. The street fair is coming up. Mm-hmm. So many events, and it's a great way to meet your neighbors and to for different cultures to interact.
Kevin Dahl is with us, Tucson City Councilman, Ward 3. I'm looking at his bio picture. It's about time to change it.
Thank you. It is. It's 2 years old,
goodness,
and I've lost 40
pounds.
You're
like about how many pounds heavier in this picture?
That's 40 pounds more than I am.
40 now. Pounds yeah. more than you are right now.
Thank
anyway,
you for recognizing
yeah, there
that.
You go. So yeah. make a note to yourself, change bio picture. All right, let's take a break right here and talk about Mona's, my favorite bakery in town, Kevin. I like
it's
Mona's for, yeah, it is. Yummy food, great comfort food. Just thinking about the chocolate croissant just gives me comfort. But, of course, they are home of the Danish Kringle, and they're also going to be taking orders for pies and rolls for your dinner table. I'm sure when we do our Thanksgiving this year, we'll be using rolls, probably a pie or two also from Mona's. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. More with Councilman Kevin Dahl right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. I want to promote tomorrow's Friday Focus interview. That's when we kind of take a deep dive with a newsmaker into what's going on. And tomorrow the focus will be the university system. We'll be speaking with the incoming chairman, Fred Duvall. We've known Fred for years. Fred used to be the head or the chair, and then back like 20 years ago, Kevin Dahl. You know Fred, don't
you? Yeah.
So he'll be with us on the live line tomorrow. And my guest media co-host, we try to always Friday bring in one of our media friends to kind of
co-host with me. It's Eddie Celaya. We like Eddie very much from the Arizona Daily Star. So that's what's coming up on Friday. But right now it's continuing on with our conversation with Kevin Dahl, who's been on the front page, it seems like, not just about the toilet to tap matter, but then going back a few weeks ago, this mass chopping down of 75 neighborhood trees. I shouldn't even chuckle. It's nothing that's funny about it. In fact, it's really sad when you cut down trees. What's the latest on that? These neighbors were not happy that the trees were like shielding a homeless camp. That's kind of the summary of it, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. This is Navajo Wash, which is Department of Transportation and Mobility land. It's where runoff from the neighborhood goes underground to go underneath Fort Lowell. It's at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Mountain Avenue. And they left it, this remnant part of the parcel, as a place for people to park for carpooling. And then also in the washy part, the neighbors planted trees years ago. And so there are some neighbors who are very concerned about homeless people who stay there. The homeless protocol isn't working for them. From my perspective, it's working as best as we can now. Social workers go out regularly and talk to people, offer services and what's available. If the camp is self-policing and there's no obvious crime going on, Environmental Services provides garbage cans and picks up garbage once a week. If it grows too big, then the police come and clear it out for health reasons. And that's happened a couple of times. And the solution of cutting down trees to make our city less attractive for people who find themselves unsheltered is just outrageous.
Yeah, it is.
And it was some neighborhood leaders who conspired probably with someone who paid for a professional landscaping crew to cut down, not very well. They left a lot of stumps, these 75 trees. And there are many neighbors who share your and my dismay and outrage that this happened. It's public land. You do not have any rights to cut down a tree because you don't like it. Mm-hmm. And someone went and put hearts on every tree.
Mm-hmm.
There were handwritten notes about how they had planted the tree years ago,
been
part of that process, and had enjoyed seeing it,
yeah,
and had good memories.
Sure.
So, we're outraged, and rest assured that those trees will be replanted.
But it takes a while to grow a tree. I mean, you can't suddenly put a tree in and it's going to be where it's going to be. Yeah,
that's right. It's an emotional loss. It's a physical loss, environmental loss, and a monetary loss.
And you kind of wonder, that was public land, right?
Yes.
So the company that was hired, and it just seems like maybe the company should have asked more questions about...
maybe so.
Yeah, like, hey...
this doesn't look like your property.
No, this doesn't look like your property, and you know...
And there are people living here at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we do, if the company... we do professional job. I mean, it's public land, so maybe they should have asked some more questions.
Yes, I think so.
So this is under investigation.
Yep.
But generally, you like what's going on with the protocol for home. We have a disproportionate number of homeless. Maybe it's our weather.
I think so.
The weather.
Yeah, if I was homeless, I wouldn't want to be in Minnesota.
No.
I would be here. I'm not homeless, and I'd rather be here than Minnesota, now that I think about it. But yes, yeah, we do account... every year, now that COVID's over, officially it's 3,000. I think it's more like 6,000. And Tucson has been using Housing First. We are investing federal dollars in creating transition housing, and those programs are very successful. They're not enough. We're going to look at some other options, and we have many partners. There's a lot of nonprofit and faith-based groups that are working on this issue.
Is that like buying the Tucson house and places like that?
Or? We've always owned the Tucson house, and we bought the Wildcat Inn, and I confuse those names too. We've also bought the No-Tail Motel.
Oh, yes.
And the Amazon Motel.
Yeah.
And they will serve different niches. You know, there's not one homeless population. You know, there's veterans. There's people who have been recently evicted from their apartments because the rents have been raised, especially we're seeing a lot more seniors and providing services. If you look carefully, there's a lot of people who are just barely not able to pay rent yet, but they're working. They're living in their cars, and they're trying to find safe places. So I think we'll be expanding services over the next year or two to try to bring people out of the alleys and washes, which are not, they're not safe for those people. If you're living on the street, I think you're worried about your safety every minute.
I would think so.
Plus, Bill, there's this overlay of fentanyl use.
Ugh.
And sometimes we see people who are causing problems who we call homeless, but they're not. They're drug dealers and drug users that commit crimes so that they can keep with their habit, but they might commit enough crimes so that they're living somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And offering them shelter is not going to deal with that. So we're looking for creative solutions for that as well.
So the police situation, they will come out if there's a camp that's been there for a while and that becomes a nuisance or health hazard.
Yeah. They come out when it's appropriate for armed law enforcement. We're first visiting those camps with basically social workers who have a portfolio of services to offer, and they will also evaluate the camp. We don't have enough police officers to do everything. So the city of Tucson has moved that function of first contact with people who are living on the streets to a new organization called, now I'm going to forget, Health, Safety, and Welfare is part of their package and their naming. And they're doing fantastic work. And they're taking the load off law enforcement. But they're also saying, hey, law enforcement is needed in this situation. Mm-hmm. And we know situations like along the Huckleberry Loop between First and Stone on mm-hmm. the south side. It's kind of a dead-end part of the
mm-hmm.
loop.
Mm-hmm.
Huge area. It's been a huge area for drugs, getting complaints from all the businesses, Walmart, from there's office buildings, Prestige Gym. And we found, my ward helped fund a pilot project of bringing in bicycles, policemen on bicycles.
Uh-huh.
And these bike cops can get in and do stuff and disrupt it. And we've had real great success. So we're looking forward to using that in some places where it's particularly bad.
When I was over in Santa Monica, the police over there have a very active bicycle force. And I was talking to some of the cops on bikes there in the park at Pacific Palisades. And just that, because they kind of cruise up and down the park and Ocean Boulevard there, just people seeing the police, you know, in shorts and a polo shirt and kind of a more relaxed atmosphere. It's part of what you might call community policing.
Community policing,
yeah.
As we can afford it, I think is very effective. And in areas where businesses are especially being affected, the business owners in this pilot area are very happy to see the bike police.
When is the transit issue going to come before the council again?
Which transit issue? Free
transit,
free buses.
Free buses.
And yeah, streetcar.
Streetcar. And
well, we decided they would be free until they're not free. And so for us to install fees again, we have to go through a process. And I think we've said for sure through December, but I think unless you see some process happening about us wanting to bring back the fees, it's just going to continue on. I'm hopeful that it will continue forever. I believe transit is a utility. And when we charge people, it slows it down because you have to fumble for change. It's an expense to collect it. And what we were collecting in the past, it was only a percentage of the cost of the transit. So in fact, it was a utility, and we're just adding this as a funding source. We need to look for partnership from some of the institutions like the university, Pima College, that make great use of our transit. And if that falls into place, I think we can continue this for a long time.
Because it's not unusual for cities to subsidize the transit, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
We subsidized it all along. You just didn't realize that 90% of it was other funds and not the dollar or whatever you
Meanwhile,
pay.
The city continues with its pledge to pave every street in the next 10 years.
The voters voted for it.
They want that.
And we're doing it. And I'm driving around and I'm just so pleased to see this neighborhood gets it, that neighborhood gets it. And people ask me, is my neighborhood next? And we have a pretty good system. Every neighborhood street has been rated by professionals. Mm-hmm. And so we know kind of what stage they are, what they need. And then we have a citizens commission that is presented that information and makes some tweaks. There are some neighborhoods that maybe need it, really
a little
do
bit
need
more.
It.
Yeah. Now, what about constituent services? If someone lives in your ward, will you take care of them?
We absolutely thrive on constituent services. I have some great staff. I'm not that great at this, but my staff has learned how to navigate the city and outside the city, other sources of help for people. So if anybody's having a problem with the city and you live in Ward 3, call us. If you live in another ward, call that ward office.
And just, you can Google you.
That's right.
And don't forget about Cyclovia Tucson. It's this Sunday in downtown Tucson.
It starts at downtown and goes north all the way to Amphi neighborhood to Literacy Connects, which is a great organization.
Oh, yeah. And if people want more information, probably Living Streets Tucson would get them there.
Living Streets Alliance. Or just Alliance. Google Cyclovia Tucson and you'll find it.
All right. Kevin Dahl, good to see you. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. It's always great.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, talk education with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, very popular this time of year. They're popular any time of year, but especially now. Oh, man, it felt so good this morning. Temperatures were in the mid-50s, maybe lower. At the Buckmaster Bungalow, it looked like about 53 at about 6 o'clock this morning. I will take that any day. And the plants are going, oh, man, just give me some nice sunshine today after taking the beating from that big storm. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Their website's greenthingsaz.com, their sister business, ZocaloVillage.com, and they have some beautiful handcrafted items. Maybe you're looking for a dining room set. Man, they've got some beautiful mesquite hand-carved dining room sets there at Zocalo Village. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Robert Hendricks is one of our contributors. We've got about 24 to our program. He's a lifelong educator. He served as superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, even has a school named after him in that district, associate professor emeritus, associate dean of the UA College of Education, former Arizona superintendent of the year. He still remains very active in the Tucson community. In fact, his calendar is usually filled every day. He's currently president of the Interfaith Community Services Board of Directors, ICS, partners with over 120 faith communities serving more than 52,000 individuals each year. The organization offers multiple programs that assist those facing food hardship, job loss, and financial crisis. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill, and yourself?
Doing well. Thank you very much. With Thanksgiving coming up, and we're talking about facing food hardship, do you guys step up at Thanksgiving, or is that just part of the whole overall food issuing plan?
Well, we do, because that tends to be a time where people are maybe a little more conscious and think more about people who are hungry, although we know we've got people that are hungry every single day. But this is a good time of the year for a campaign. We have an ongoing food drive right now and through the end of October, and it's a good time if people want to donate. Stop by one of the ICS offices, our major offices on the northwest side around Ina and Shannon, and at the Episcopal Church there. And so if people want to help, we sure be willing to accept any contribution that they want to give us.
I like the fact that you've got dozens of faith organizations that come together to help people.
We do. It's very interdenominational, Bill, and that's a wonderful thing, because we may not as faith communities agree on everything, but this is one area where everyone comes together to help people who are in need.
Let's talk now about education, specifically math skills. We're seeing it's not only a problem in the high school level, Dr. Hendricks, but the recent story in the Arizona Daily Star, even at the college level, the students that are coming into the University of Arizona are deficient in so many ways in math, and it's a lot of students, Dr. Hendricks.
Well, it's a bleak story, and fortunately or unfortunately, math is a subject that is so precise. There is a right answer or wrong answer. It's not a philosophical journey where you can argue shades of right or shades of wrong. There are correct answers, and the National Assessment of Educational Progress, known as NAEP, tests all fourth graders and eighth graders across the country every other year. Now, the exception was this past test, because they actually went for 3 years because of the pandemic. So we've just gotten the results from a three-year period where learning has taken place. And so we can take a look at the results. And these are results that have been charted for several decades. This organization can take a look at the movement of of math skills acquired in fourth grade and eighth grade over a long period of time. And so we have those results, and here's the bottom line, Bill. Nobody, and I'm saying not a single group, showed any gain.
Really?
Now,
that is bleak.
Low income, wealthier students, boys, girls, every racial and ethnic group, students with and without disabilities, every region of the country, the scores either stayed flat or they fell back. I mean, this is really, really unbelievable. And we actually saw some declines, particularly in the eighth grade, among every kind of school, traditional public schools, charter schools, private schools, parochial schools. They all lost ground in math. And, of course, we talk about fourth grade, eighth grade, ultimately high school, and then college. This all gets kicked upstairs, and it's not good news. And so experts are really scratching their heads to try to determine what's going on here. Easy to blame the pandemic, but actually those scores have been declining before the pandemic. The pandemic was a tipping point, but scores have been declining for years, especially among the lowest quartile of students, the lowest 25% of students. There has not been a significant increase at all. So what does this really mean? I took a look at some of the standardized questions on the test and give you some examples that are really going to be discouraging. For example, in the fourth grade, 3 out of 5 students could not tell whether a whole number is odd or even.
No. Oh, yeah. My goodness. And that's when fourth grade.
Only half of fourth graders understand that subtraction is the inverse of addition.
Oh, my.
Oh, wait, there's more. Less than 3 out of 10 fourth graders can identify numbers that divide into another number that has a remainder.
Oh, boy. Wow.
And so that's fourth grade. Now let's look at eighth grade, because now we're talking about 4 more years of learning, 4 more years to obtain competency. Among eighth graders, 44% can solve a problem using division, and only 51% could give proper change for a 65-cent item when given a $1 bill.
Oh, no. Oh, my
and
goodness.
That's sort of interesting, because My wife and I were discussing that last night, and we said, well, maybe Alexa or Siri can help us with that. And we asked the question, and there was the answer in any denomination you want to ask. But it's there. It's easy, and why learn to calculate when you can just ask and somebody will do it for you?
So that's
part of the issue. But let me continue.
Yeah, real quickly. We're up against the break, but go ahead.
Only 53%, when asked the question, if you have a pie and you cut it in 4 equal pieces, what fraction do you have left if you eat 3 pieces of pie?
Oh, no.
So we should be concerned. Very concerned. Let's mull over that during the break, and I have more to say when we return.
Okay, thanks very much. Dr. Robert Hendricks, we'll pick up on this. Whoa, it sounds like we need to go back to, like, whatever, square one with math. This is more on that and other subjects with Dr. Hendricks. Let's take a break. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub. serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, looking at the midday temperature of 66 in Silver City. What a nice weekend coming up. Around 70 degrees for the weekend and down around 40 for the overnight low. So it's great weather to do some outdoor activities like hiking. Only a 3-hour drive. Check it out. Their website, southwestnewmexico.org. And that's where you can find all sorts of information about Silver City and stuff to do and places to stay and some great places to eat as well in historic Silver City. All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, our contributor on education. We continue our discussion about how bad things have turned out with math skills decline. During the break, Tom Fairbanks was asking me to ask you, and I think it's a good question, is this a peculiar American problem, or is this something we're seeing around the world, this decline in math skills? Dr. Hendricks, do you know that?
I do think that we're seeing this as a phenomena fairly unique to the United States, because other countries seem to be holding their own in terms of knowledge and mathematical advancement. And, of course, the concern is that who are the future scientists? Who are those who are going to create the next stages of technology, engineering? I mean, if we're not putting people into the workforce that have this knowledge, then we're going to have other competitors who are going to be taking their place very, very quickly.
Yeah, and you said you had some more examples that might be eye-opening. Let's hear them.
Well, I think the biggest one for me is that is the issue of whole numbers. And I really ask the question, where's the competency level that students are able to move from grade level to grade level and not have these basic skills? And, you know, a lot of experts have said, well, we need more remedial work. Can't disagree with that. We've also seen that some of our teachers need more training in understanding mathematical principles to teach them properly and effectively. Can't argue with that. But I think there are some other issues that are just as important, and that is, I think there is a student apathy towards math skills. There doesn't seem to be, and I would generalize this and say apathy across the board, not just typically in math, but math is so precise, it's much more detectable, I think, in some ways. You know, maybe you're stumbling a little bit in reading, maybe it doesn't become as detectable, but if you don't know the math skills, it's pretty evident you don't know them. And I think for many students, they don't see the relevance of math. Now, I have to say, honestly, Bill, I'm not sure in my schooling that I always saw the relevance of math or not, but I know I was expected to learn it. And one of the things that I remember quite clearly is math at the kitchen table. My dad sitting down with me and going over examples after examples until I got it correctly. Simple drill and practice. But we've got an environment where students, I think, are not interested in the extra effort to drill and practice. They're not interested in doing homework. They're not interested in, you know, putting their nose to the grindstone in these particular areas. So it becomes a real problem. And practice means doing other work, extra work.
Yeah.
And that's something our foreign competitors understand.
Let's go to the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Jack has a question for Dr. Hendricks. Go ahead, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Are you familiar with what Portland has just done with their schools? For
no.
5 years, they're not going to have anybody take any competency tests.
Wow.
Well, as we know, the problem with that is if you don't have benchmarks, how do you know how you're progressing?
Yeah.
And if you let go of that, you know, easy to sort of get by, but at the end of the day, what do you really have? So, you know, there's got to be yardsticks. There's got to be measurement. And even though we might not like the answers that we get in making those assessments, I totally believe in a standardized assessment system that is ongoing, and I would respectfully disagree with what Portland is doing.
What do you think? Let's try to hear. We only have about 4 minutes. The four-day work week, is that something that Arizona school districts are now experimenting with?
Well, yes. Four-day work week has been adopted by two Arizona districts in the Phoenix area, Cartwright and Liberty School District. They're both K-8 school districts. Also in the state, we have Gila Bend and Wickenburg who've adopted that plan. Now, we don't have any school districts in the Tucson area that are doing this. So why, you have to ask, particularly after we have this discussion about math scores,
yeah,
and time on task.
This doesn't seem like the best time.
they claim that they're saving money, which I can tell you, studies show that the savings are very modest. But the main reason is teacher recruitment. The major reason that that they're doing this, they claim, is that by giving teachers a 3-day work week or 3-day weekend, it's an incentive to attract more employees. I might point out that across the country, this plan is operating, but where you find it mostly are in rural school districts. And so, as you can imagine, students and teachers generally support the idea, but you can imagine the survey responses from parents who yes. don't like the idea. However, they don't like it as probably to the extent that they would if they lived in an urban area. In a rural area, I think some parents probably like the fact that they have an extra day during the farming season that their children can be out working
yeah.
and helping out.
Yeah.
So what's the effect on learning? I can tell you that the RAND Corporation recently did a study of student achievement, and they have seen a drop in achievement over multiple years. And I don't think you have to be an educator to figure out the reasons why. When you reduce the amount of time on task, you're going to have lower achievement. Now, I should point out that they still have to meet the minimum instructional day. So even though they're only meeting 4 days a week, they have to add minutes to each day. Mm. So they still come up with the same amount of time that they would have spent in over 5 days. But is that additional concentration of time in 4 days equivalent to what it might be 5 days? Well, the research says obviously that it is not.
Hmm. Before we wrap it up, speaking of teachers, recruiting teachers, are salaries going up in the state?
They are. Pretty good news. You know, we've talked about salaries before. They're still low, but I think we've hit some milestones. If you look in the Tucson area, for the first time, some districts have reached the beginning salary mark of $50,000, which is good. I mean, it's better than it's been. The range right now for starting salaries in Tucson are from $38,000 to $52,000, which is quite a bit of spread, you know, when you look at next door neighbor districts, you know, in the Tucson community. But that doesn't really tell the whole story, because there are sign up bonuses for new teachers. There's incremental pay for additional education and degrees. There's supplemental pay for coaching and club sponsorships and so forth. So, but given the baseline, it gives you kind of an idea of that we're moving forward. Now,
real quickly, we're about out of time.
Here's the negative side of that. We don't see good compression with those numbers. In other words, you might start out with that high salary, but if you're a veteran teacher, you're not seeing significant incremental increases in your salary.
Okay, going to have
so
to run.
There's compression. Okay.
Thank you, Dr.
Right.
Robert
Bill,
Hendricks.
Good talking to you.
All right. Thanks very much. That'll do it for the Bye-bye. Buckmaster Show. Buckmaster saying, have a great afternoon, everybody.